Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and it's Monday afternoon in Seattle, Washington, on a day in that might be early spring for us, but quickly going back to winter here in a day or so. So welcome. I'm happy that you are here with us. And today we're going to be talking about when getting angry is sacred work. Big, huge topic. Probably won't be able to cover it all today, but I think there are things that we need to think about and talk about as a community, so I'd like to touch on them with you. But first, I would like to remind you that my show is about helping all of us realize and tap our intuitive and healing skills, that we are all intuitives and healers. We just need to learn to tap these abilities and to make them practical everyday skills that we use. And that's what I do in my personal and my business life. So I offer intuition and spiritual consulting and past life regression and all of that. I get to see on a daily basis how people are growing their souls. And it's amazing work. So if you have a comment or question about today's topic, when getting angry is sacred work, or if you'd like a quick intuitive insight into an issue, please call into 202-570-7057. Or if you're shy or comes up later, email me at robin@robinfritz.com. That's robinfritz.com. So again today, we're going to talk about how we help ourselves tap our natural, intuitive, and healing abilities, how we can live a full, satisfying, fun life, and how sometimes we need to get angry to do our work. That's a big, big subject. But first, before we dive into today's subject, I'd like, as always, to start with a quick healing with a crystal Fallon. Fallon is a citrine, Lemurian quartz. No, I don't name anybody in my family crystals or animals. So that's the name he gave me when we reconnected some years ago and he joined the family. So a citrine, Lemurian quartz is a very rare form of quartz, and Fallon is very real in himself as an ancient healer and truth bringer. An ancient power crystal. So I know that you can experience him however your intuition works throughout the show, but here in this quick, brief meditation. So if you see pictures, hear him chat, feel his energy, or simply know that he is here with us in this hour, that's how your intuition works. So take a moment, take your attention to the top of your head, and we're connecting mind, body, and spirit together. And as you breathe down your body, just let the cares of the day go away, any blocks to just relaxing disappear, and just feel your energy clear out and be healthy and strong again. Breathing down from the top of your head, down your face, your shoulders, your chest, your hips, your knees, and your feet. The top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And Fallon works really quickly, so you just may feel like a whoosh of air just flowing right through you, and that's great, right? So now imagine Fallon, he's in the shape of a crystal ball, and it's kind of a pale, yellowy cast to him. That's the citrine in the Lemurian quartz. rotating outside your body, down at your feet, and as it moves up your body, just imagine that you're letting this healing energy flood your body straight to your heart, and with each beat of your heart, flows through your bloodstream, through your entire body, filling you up with healthy, positive energy. So moving up from your feet, past your knees, your hips, your chest, your shoulders, your face, that third eye chakra, and the top of your head, your crown chakra. So you may notice during this hour that you might feel a little lightheaded. That's your crown chakra connecting with Fallon. Not to worry, we'll close you out at the end of the hour. So let's get to today's subject, when getting angry is sacred work. Now, how can getting angry, be sacred work? So, well, first, I guess the question would be, what is sacred work? And I look at it as we all need to take responsibility. We all need to understand that we live in community and that the only way a community succeeds is if we are all responsible for our actions. And we are responsible. We don't always take that responsibility, but we all are all responsible. Even if we think we're better than or above the law, or someone else is wrong and we're always right, we're still responsible. And we're responsible for ourselves, and we are responsible to others in the community. And the community can be your neighborhood, your city, your country, and really your community is the world. And it's sacred work because, again, as I said over and over again, as I work with clients, what a privilege that is. We are here and we chose these human bodies to grow our souls in this soul experience. And part of being human is part of living in community. And so living our lives on a daily basis is sacred work. But we don't live our lives in isolation. And the part of that work, of our sacred work, that makes us responsible for our actions and for how we move in society is that we create a rule of law in our communities to help us grow and nurture ourselves, to help us get along, you know, so you stop at red lights and don't run them so everybody can get along as easily as possible. And to do that, we need rules. We need ways of living as best as we can. And that doesn't work when we don't obey the laws that we've created. And if we don't like the laws, maybe it's time to change them. Not by fear, but by logical reason principles that we work out and agree to, and that means compromise. So then back to the question, why is getting angry sacred work? Well, I've been thinking about this topic for a long time. And for a long time, I thought, well, it's just me. Because aren't we great as humans? We always think it's just about us and not about anybody else. But actually, it started out in what we might think is a really small issue, but has turned into a very large issue, and one that I suddenly realized is not just my issue or my country's issue, and certainly not my city's issue. And that's really going back to my life with animals. I have chosen to live a life where my animals are my family. For one reason or another, that's how things turned out, and I'm pretty happy with it. And over the last 20 years, where I've lived with dogs who need to go outside and go for walks because I live in a condo and we don't have a fenced yard, it's been good for me and good for the dogs. We get out, we go for a walk 5 times a day. I get my exercise, they get their exercise, and really you see an awful lot of the world around you when you're out there poking around and, you know, what's that dog looking at now? I've seen the insides of more flowers over the last 20 years than I ever imagined I'd see. But the problem that I'm experiencing, and really in the last 2 years, which is ironic in that my most recent dog, Oliver, who is a reincarnation of my previous dog, Alki, is 2.5 years old. And I have begun to wonder if I did the right thing in bringing him home to a neighborhood where we are not completely safe. And it's not just us. And And it bring and it really helps, you know, focus in on this question of sacred work and getting angry in sacred work when you look at something like this issue, and we'll expand it out to the larger community as we move along. But we've had a huge increase in my neighborhood. It's a salty, beachy community in Puget Sound in Seattle, Washington. So I'm fortunate enough to live by the ocean. Funky little neighborhood. We have coyotes, raccoons, foxes, possums, bald eagles, ospreys, crows, gulls, sea lions out there in the ocean, whales, occasional whales. We have a very wild community. We also have a lot of people walking dogs. And for some reason, over the last number of years, people have become pretty sure that they can do whatever they want, and the law or respect for other people doesn't matter. And this is really a good example to segue into what we're seeing actually happening here in the United States on this countrywide basis, and actually around the world right now. So what has happened over the last couple of years is that more and more people have come to the beach to be here on nice days. So this last weekend was our reminder here that our days of having the beach to ourselves are coming to an end, and it's wall-to-wall cars on the weekend with people and dogs and kids and everything running around. But the problem is we have a leash law in Seattle. Dogs are supposed to be on leashes, not on flexi leads, which expand at will, usually their will and not ours, but really short leashes. And yet people are letting their dogs run loose. And they're usually large dogs, and they tend to take small dogs as prey. And so people like me are running into increasingly difficult times because large dogs are running up and attacking me and my small dog. And a couple weeks ago, I was attacked by a Great Dane. I was attacked. I picked my dog up to avoid a loose dog, and the next thing I know, a Great Dane was standing on my back and growling at my neck and trying to snap my dog over my shoulder. Okay, and that's when, once I was safely removed from that situation and we were not physically hurt, although I did suffer from basically whiplash for the following week when a dog that size jumps on you, I ended up calling the police, very upset, quite distraught. I mean, it was potentially a life-threatening situation for me as well as for my dog. And the police eventually came. And then that report went to animal control, and they called me several days later. And then I happened to be out with my dog, and animal control drove by, so I flagged him down, and we had a conversation. And this is when everything changed for me. Now, I have been attacked by dogs, and my dog and I have been attacked by dogs a lot lately, and we're not the only ones. And everyone out there is going, what is going on out here? Why are all these people letting their dogs run loose? And I asked them, why put your dog on the leash? Oh, your dog is on the leash. Your dog is the problem. My dog is fine. And it's like, no, you're breaking the law. And no, if a human ran up to you, like your dog is running up to you, it's assault and battery. Okay. It's also very dangerous. This is a busy community. The last people I yelled at, two women jogging down the street with their lab, I said, please put your dog on a leash. They said, well, your dog is a problem. And the next thing you knew, their dog was in the street. Okay. A potential hazard for the dog and for the oncoming car. But here's what we've noticed, and I've talked about this with people, and I talked about it with animal control and with the police. People don't respect the law anymore. And is that not what we're seeing around the country and around the world? People don't respect the law. They decide that they could do what they want, that they're entitled, that there's no reason for them to do something they don't want to do. That fact that there are dog parks where they can let their dogs run, or they can buy a house and put them in behind a fence and let them run there, makes no difference. They can come to the beach and let their dogs run loose. But it isn't just my neighborhood. It's all over Seattle. And it isn't just Seattle. It's everywhere I've looked to move to think that I could be safe with my dog on the street, which is simply not possible any longer. Not in the way where I can feel like I can walk and not have to protect myself. And here was the interesting conversation with the police and with animal control. We have a police officer whose responsibility at least should include five other officers and does not, just one. In a city of 607,000 people, we have 8 animal control officers in a city where we have more dogs than children. And the very simple answer is that we don't have enough people to do the work. We don't have enough police officers. We don't have enough animal control officers. And what's happening? Because there are laws that are not being enforced, people are not obeying the laws. Well, what is your sacred work in that situation? That's the question. What does that mean to us as citizens? What does that mean to us if you just want to enjoy a pleasant afternoon? And what does that mean for our children in schools, for the rule of law in our countries, for how we handle every issue from taxation to immigration? What does that mean for us? It's a tough question, and we'll deal with this more here after the coming break. But if you have any questions or if you'd like to chime in with what you've noticed, please call in to 202-570-7057, and we'll be back after the break.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for. That new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Shopping for yourself or loved ones? Check out the best rock shop around, Earthlight Rocks and Gems in Kirkland, Washington. Whether you're looking for metaphysical support or just love nature's art, Earthlight has it all. Raw rocks, crystals, tumbled stones of all kinds, carvings, cabs, fossils, tumblers, rare minerals in all price ranges and books. They also have jewelry, including custom pieces and beads to make your own. Open 7 days a week, the Earthlight store has been around since 1988 and is run by Kim and Todd Valines. Find them online at earthlightgems.com. At Etsy at earthlightgems.etsy.com or on Facebook at Earthlight Rocks and Gems. Have a question? Email Kim at the store, earthlightgems.com. And just for Om Times listeners, receive 10% off orders over $50 at their Etsy account with coupon code earthlightgems. That's earthlightgems.etsy.com or the store at earthlightgems.com.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee.
I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz. We're in Seattle, Washington, and I'm talking about how and why getting angry is sacred work. So again, the situation that really brought it home to me was recently when I was attacked by a Great Dane trying to protect my dog from being attacked by the Great Dane. And in a conversation with the police and with animal control, I realized, shockingly, that I was part of the problem, not part of the answer. And that really set me back, you know, and that's how I got to the topic of today's show, was to really stop and think about what was going on around me and what was I doing about it. Because sacred work, our sacred work, all of us together in community, is to take care of ourselves and of each other, to create laws that work, to enforce the laws, and to speak up if it's not working. And that's the part where I hadn't followed through as well as I could have, because this was not the first time that my dog and I have been hurt. In fact, not even the most serious time. I don't even want to think about it anymore. But I've been savaged by a dog, and so was my dog once. And it is a horrible situation, and it is not something I want to see anybody else suffer, nor do I want to see it happen to children who are walking around here. So my conversation with the police and animal control, I realized that there just aren't enough officers out there to enforce the law. And sadly, we're people, we're humans, we need the law. We need laws that are enforced, because I guess we just don't think we need to obey them otherwise. And you know, we've all had those instances of being children and finding out, you know, the hard way that our parents disciplined us for not following the rules. But you know, things are different now. People are out there and they decide that they're entitled. They're entitled to do what they want, and that other people don't matter. And that is, again, part of their feeling in their sacred work. So when I was talking with these people, it became apparent that not only do we not have enough officers, but when I'm looking around at what's happening in the city of Seattle, that we're creating issues here in the city of Seattle that are more than first world problems. I mean, we're doing things like, come on, deciding to give free college, 2 years of college to any high school student in the city of Seattle, when we're not having adequate services in terms of enough police or animal control officers or any sort of services that keep the city running on a fundamental basis for everyone? That's a question that we all need to deal with. Well, the answer in Seattle is a Seattle City Council that decides how many police and animal control officers there are. So while the police and the animal control are telling me, well, there just aren't enough of us, I realize that I'm the citizen, and I'm the one who needs to go to city council and say, hey, what are you people doing? You know, why can't we solve this problem? What's going on? And so I've been out talking with people, and I've been out making notes about, it isn't just my problem. I'm not the only person who's noticed this. I'm not the only person who's had an incident. And the police officer, when he left here that day, checked our front door in our building and said, you know, we don't just have the dog issue. And he goes, that's bad enough. He goes, but we have carjackings and home invasions. And he goes, well, there's just not enough of us to keep up with it. And the rest of his unspoken comment was, you people have to start taking care of yourselves. It's like we're going back to the Wild West or something like that. But the biggest problem is making the people who are in charge of creating the laws understand that the laws that they exist are not working. And that's where, again, I had to get angry enough to call the police, angry enough to follow through and say, this is enough. We have to stop. We have to find a solution. And angry enough to start creating a solution so that our government actually follows through and makes it a law. And it was just really interesting. This coincided about the same time that friends and I went to the musical Hamilton. And here we're watching. I mean, whoever would have thought, I mean, we would be interested in something about our founding fathers, that we'd go and be entertained by us instead of just, you know, reading a book. And yet what was really deeply moving in this show was to show these people as flawed humans, just like we all are. We're all flawed. We all make mistakes. We all have our desire to achieve or to be the best or to be recognized as the best. And they had the same issues, but they did have a vision. They had a vision of a society where things could be different, where people could live differently, where they could act differently. And yes, in the circumstances of the time, that still included things that we don't approve of today. But it was an example of progress. And now we're looking at our country and other countries out there, and are we making progress? And what should progress look like? And when I look at progress, I look at my ability to walk down the street and not have panic attacks because somebody's loose dog runs at me and jumps on me. Not have to go to the ER for myself or for my dog because somebody wasn't being responsible and we got bit. And I've been there at the ER from a dog bite. And I was told in the city of 607,000 people that this happens every single day. So why aren't our authorities taking responsibility for it? And it's because we, the citizens, are not. And that's what I realize. I can scream all I want, and people now cross the street when they see me coming with Ollie, and I am just fine with that because I don't want to see them and their dogs. There's some dogs that we like and they're fine, but the others, people aren't training them. They aren't taking them to socialization schools. And ironically, I'm hearing the same thing from owners and workers in pet supply stores and in dog daycare centers, that people are just dropping their dogs off, that there is no sort of training that goes on, their dogs aren't properly socialized. And this is reverberating through society. But then look at us. Are we properly socialized right now in our communities? How are we reaching out and creating communities in our neighborhoods, in our city? You know, we have little, in Seattle, we have little community councils in our neighborhoods. I was involved in ours years ago. I haven't been in a long time. Again, I'm part of the problem. And it's time for us all to step up and be part of the solution. And so my part of the solution here is to change the law and make it a really tough law, because that's all that people understand is tough laws. But in making a tough law, will that make people stop and go, oh my gosh, I guess I really need to train my dog? Oh my gosh, I guess I need to start thinking about how other people are surviving in the city and how we might make it easier for all of us? Do you think that's pie in the sky, or do you think that's possible? What's happening in your neighborhood that you could take a look at and make a difference at? What is going on around you that can make you so angry that you will advocate and work for change, because change and creating a decent society is part of our sacred work? I'm sad to say that I had to be attacked by a Great Dane before I stopped and went, hey, this solution that I have of just screaming is not working. What else can I do? And go to city council and say, you know, your $50 fine for a dog off leash isn't working. How about 150 first offense, 500 second offense, third offense? You lose your dog and any right to own a dog forever in the city of Seattle. And they enforce that. And people are going to hate it, and they're going to complain, and they're going to start obeying the law. And those poor dogs that are allowed to run loose and then maybe into traffic, or that are so scared because they don't know how to live in human society that they're attacking other people and other dogs, maybe those dogs will get relief in better homes. Or maybe they'll learn with their people how to be good citizens of the republic. But here's the thing that was really, really interesting as I was pondering this and thinking, oh my God, what can I do? What do I have to do? I'm very busy. If I didn't stop myself, I'd be working 7 days a week, you know, just with all the different things I do and client appointments and this show and Facebook Live and marketing and writing articles and just what I do, you know, to take time away from my business, to go to city council and advocate for a change that I know will have people throwing eggs at me. That's exhausting to think about, let alone do, and yet I need to do it. I need to take time away from my work to do it. But what is it, too, that's involved there? And it's fear. So here's a really interesting thing. So I was watching TV the other day, and honestly can't remember what show it was, but I think it was MSNBC. I think it was, you know, if they hear this and they want to complain about it, whatever, I can't help that. But the question that they were talking about is the same question that I'm talking about in a different framework. I'm saying getting angry is part of our sacred work. And this gentleman who was talking about, yes, we're talking about the larger issue of the increasing lack of civility and common sense and problem solving between people with different opinions. They'll stand there. We've seen it on the news. We've seen people breaking into fights. Everybody has their own opinion, and nobody's coming together with a solution. Nobody's even talking about a solution because compromise is a dirty word these days. It's part of being together in Republic. It's part of our sacred work of being in community. So this news segment just added fuel to the issue. The conversation was not just on politics, but on the charged landscape that we're living in these times. And the topic was fear. And the man was talking about issues that create fear, from the talk about climate change to politics. Now, I have railed against this for years. My first response when anybody pops up with something terrifying on the news, you know, outside of, you know, an actual thing like school shootings, which are just, they just stun me. And I'm sure they stun any good thinking citizen of any country. But what are they hiding from us? What is it that they don't want us to see? Because we need to have a healthy skepticism about our government, because we've seen that our government is not working for the people. But the other topic was that all of these subjects that come up, like global warming, which I've said before isn't really true because it isn't warming that we're looking at. It's an ice age, and I say that because the hurricanes tell me that, not science. We're just in a temporary period. But the topic is fear and what happens to our brains on fear. Fear shuts down our brain's prefrontal cortex. So what is that and what does it mean? Well, our brain, even a specific area of the brain, is very hard. And you look at the prefrontal cortex as part of a brain that has an executive function. Its activity is to manage other cognitive systems in the brain. So it's like the manager of a company, right? So the prefrontal cortex manages processes like reason, logic, problem solving, planning, and memory. So it plays a huge role in directing attention and developing and pursuing goals and inhibiting impulses that don't serve us. You know, the people who let their dogs run off leash, right? Things that are counterproductive to society. So there's some question that the prefrontal cortex may be involved in determining our personality, but that may be another subject for another day. But it plays a role in becoming us, who we are as unique individuals. So what happens when it shuts down? Some people think we'd be ruled by desires and impulses, by what we want, right, as I'm seeing on the street, by what captures our attention in the moment, as we see by the flitting back and forth of different news stories, by reaction to something. So the implication is that we might lose the ability to plan for a future or even think about the consequences of our actions. Isn't that what we're seeing right now in our society from those who have chosen to run our governments and our cities, those we do business with, those who teach our children? So he, this guest on the news segment was talking about how dominant fear is right now. And if fear shuts down our prefrontal cortex, fear is shutting down our right reason. And what happens then? Well, his description is very to the point. Our vision narrows to the threat that we're facing. So we see just that one issue and not the larger picture. So fear makes us, and this is a direct quote because I was writing this down as he was saying it. Fear makes us smaller and simpler when we need our actions to be bigger and more complex. And that accurately and terrifyingly sums up what we are experiencing today, not just in American society, but all over the world. So ask yourself, how much does fear dominate you? How can you deal with that? What is a reasonable perspective on the issues that we're facing? How do we manage in the world? So do we echo the problem? Do we perpetuate fear, or do we find an antidote to it? And that's what this gentleman was asking. What antidote are we going to find to fear? And we know from the last election in the United States that it was dominated by fear. You were just shaking your head listening to all the lies and all the people who were believing the lies. Why? Because they were afraid to not believe them. They were afraid to look at themselves as lesser. They were afraid to see themselves as maybe not succeeding as well. They were afraid of a different mindset or a different view of an issue from theirs. When, if we shared our views together, couldn't we not create something even better? Our founding fathers didn't agree with everything, but they created something better than the world that they lived in when they were kids, in the world as it had existed for years and centuries before that. So what does that do? We'll wrap it up after the break.
Conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14.
31? I mean, 13?
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. He realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
So, excuse me, welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's, excuse me again, Robin Fritz, and we're in Seattle, Washington. So the subject for today is when getting angry is sacred work. And I was mentioning the gentleman on the news show who talked about when we're afraid, our prefrontal cortex shuts down, our right reason, our vision narrows to the threat we're facing. So we see just that one issue, that threat, and not the larger picture. So in his words, fear makes us smaller and simpler when we need our actions to be bigger and more complex. Which is terrifying, really. Because if we are smaller and simpler, then we let other people tell us what to do, and those people may not have our best interests at heart. And there's a lot of us wondering about that in the world right now. But how much does fear dominate us? What is a reasonable perspective on the issues we're facing? How do we manage in the world? So his question, do we echo the problem? Do we perpetuate fear? Do we find the antidote to it? Well, I think I can help offer an antidote to the issue. Obviously, in my personal story that I talked about, the dogs off leash, obviously I'm going to have to get involved on a bigger level than I thought before, because like everyone else, I was letting everybody else deal with the problem, and in fact, no one was. So that's when I got angry enough to say, hey, something has to change here, and if necessary, I will be the agent for change. Maybe that's where we all need to be, not necessarily angry, but although angry does take us to our sacred work, but to the point where we can sit down and figure out how we can be part of the solution rather than part of the problem to anything in our society, to whatever laws they're trying to pass, to who's ever running for office, to how we get along with our neighbors. So here's some tips for you to think about as you're exploring this issue in your own life. Is there something in your own life, in your neighborhood, that's going on that you would like to see changed? What can you do about it? Do you have a community council for your neighborhood? Do you have to go to city council like I will at some point when I work through the various community councils and see how we can get support there? Is it problems with transportation for your kids to school? Is it the price of groceries? You know, what is it? What's the issue? What's pollution? You know, what is it? What's bothering you? What's bothering you in your neighborhood or city? What makes you angry enough to get involved? Because we think we don't matter, and we do, right? Because we're the reason that they create laws, the laws that we want and we feel that we need to keep us safe and to give us the freedom to contribute to the world in the way that we came here to do, whatever that is for each of us. So I invite you to sit with that feeling, to sit with what it is that you feel might be wrong and what you feel the solution might be. You might even want to meditate about that. Now, I have to say, I don't really understand meditation. And I asked people once, like, explain the whole meditation thing to me. And the guy who taught meditation for years looked at me and he said, Robin, you're living it all day long. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, just think about it. The way you walk around the world, the way you interact with things, the way you and Fallon work, that's meditation. You're doing it all day long. And I go, oh, okay, whatever. I may still not get it entirely. But if you just sit in the silence and allow yourself to let go of your fear, that thing that shuts down your prefrontal cortex, and expand out and sit with the feeling of whatever it is you think needs to change, then start jotting down the solutions that you come up with. Maybe it's hosting a neighborhood coffee hour. What's bothering you? What's bothering me? What do we think about it? Something like that. What can you do? What is legitimate anger? What is unreasonable? And what are the solutions that create effective change without anyone getting hurt, that will boost us up and not bust us back to the Stone Age? Spend some time in reflection. Go for a walk, be in nature. And when you're going for that walk and you're being in nature, turn off your cell phone, turn off your music, unplug those things from your ears, and pay attention to the world around you, because you know what? The world around you is offering you answers. You know, we're like generations cut off from our connection to nature. But I know for a fact I can go around in the neighborhood and talk with the other beings that live here and hear their solutions to the problems that we have with growing plants or whatever it is that's going on in the neighborhood. Nature itself is there. All trees are alive. Everything's alive. They have their own opinions, and they're pretty wise about, you know, how we might be able to handle ours. And sometimes we need distractions. Sometimes we need to think of something else, right? Just distract you from the issue. Distract me from my panic attacks and from my screaming obscenities. And it's like I was laughing with a neighbor gentleman the other day, and I said, you know, I need new obscenities because the old ones are wearing thin on me. It's like, oh, you have to, you know, take humor in your situation, but, you know, like, okay, what do we need to do next? And sometimes we just need to distract ourselves from the problem. Get up and away from the problem so that when you come back to it, you can see it more clearly. And you can see maybe solutions more clearly as well. Research your options. What is reasonable? What is legal? What is possible? And what's not so time consuming that your regular life gets lost, right? So I've looked at everything from stun guns to carrying a gun and thinking, oh my God, has it come to that? I hope not, you know, but what are the solutions? What is possible for you? I mean, look at your physical situation. Look at your financial and your work situation. How much time do you have to give? I mean, that's why we elect people to run our government in the first place. We're paying them to do the stuff that we can't attend to all day long. And yet, they're not supposed to go off and do what they want. They're supposed to go off and do what we want, right? So we need to get more involved. What is possible for your family? You know, people have different family obligations. How old are your kids? Do you have kids? What other obligations do you have in your family? What are the cultural issues you'd like to see explored or changed? And that's a step beyond what's immediately going on in your neighborhood and your city. What are the cultural issues? Well, right here in the United States right now, we're looking at immigration. We're looking at what people from different countries mean to us. What should they mean to us? What should we mean to them? How does the definition of boundaries in a country change how we look at the world? What can you start at home next door in your neighborhood or city that's going to make a difference? Is it a neighbor woman? Well, she's not a neighbor, but she lives here in West Seattle. And she created this amazing thing. She's fascinated by our sea life. So she created something called a whale trail. And that is stopping points along the coast, all the way now down to California, where people can stand and see whales go by or other sea life that's out there. And I see people all the time standing at this sign, the whale trail sign down here, and they have pictures of the different kinds of whales and the sea lions and, you know, all the different things that we can see out there. That was her passion, and she's making a difference in the lives of people who are looking out at the ocean and wondering what that is. What's that thing out there? What am I seeing? Yeah, that was her passion. That's her contribution to the community. She's awesome. So it doesn't always have to be the stuff that scares you. It could be the stuff that inspires you. And how do you go out and make that part of your work in the world? Did she get angry to do that? No, she didn't have to. But she was interested. And she was inspired. And she wanted to do some good. And there are a lot of us that are really devoted to our native orca population, which is on the brink of extinction. And maybe getting people interested in them is one way to save them. One way to reduce our strain on the environment so the salmon runs continue to feed our local orcas, because that's all they eat. So here's some more questions for you to think about, and you're welcome to email me, to call me up, or to tag me on Facebook at the Practical Intuitive page. What do you think we need to do to create a better sense of community? What do we need to do to take that prefrontal cortex away from fear and to give it back its rightful place in our brain so that we're coming up with solutions and not dwelling on the problems? How can we look at solutions to problems without panicking ourselves? And how can we look at the problems and really isolate what the problem really is? In my case, it was people aren't paying attention to the law. A lot of people don't know how to manage their dogs. There are a lot of dogs in the city. So what can we do to offer them services? In fact, compel them to train their dogs or do things that make them and all of us better citizens together. So here are some last tips for thinking about how we create community. Starting at our dinner tables, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our states, just take a deep breath. Sit back and take a deep breath. Deep, measured breaths help us find our true self. And our true self, our own country within ourselves, that place in us that knows right from wrong, that can logically, dispassionately, and passionately look at the situation of all of the things that are affecting us in society. Our true self will help us get calmed and grounded and balanced and centered, and remind us that life is imperfect and in flux, and it's still okay. We can do this. We can do this. So breathe. Just breathe. And then get engaged, right? We can say, let's talk. Let's learn how to create community. What is your opinion about this subject? Here is my opinion. How is that different? What can we do to bridge the gap between us? How can we create a compromise that works for everyone? How can we keep ourselves safe? How can we keep ourselves inspired? How can we keep ourselves together as a community and a country? Be open-minded. Find common ground. Understand what others fear and believe and why, because that leads to consensus, and that leads to our prefrontal cortex, our brain opening up and not being afraid. And learn that we evolve, right? Right now, the last few years here in the United States, and we're seeing it all over the world, listening to each other is extremely hard. It's hard. People are nasty. They are verbally abusive. And I'm guilty of that because of all the obscenities I've spun out into the world lately about the dog issue. But that is fear reacting. And I know it's fear. But we also need to pull that back and find solutions to our fear. So listening and evolving, that's our growth opportunity. We stay balanced, we stay grounded and centered in ourselves and all the elements, earth, air, fire, water, and spirit, by gathering in communities, letting go of what doesn't serve us any longer, relationships, thought patterns, whatever, and hold to love, right? Love is what it comes down to in the end. We get angry. Anger is part of our sacred work. But our primary purpose, as always, is to love. Love ourselves, love others, and make that a real thing. It's not a fluffy, airy thing. It's a real thing. It's tough to look at somebody you don't agree with and think, okay, yeah, I may not agree with them, but we can still love. We can still hold this country together. We can hold this community together. We can hold the world together by bringing forth the values. We can grieve for the people who suffer. We can celebrate our gains. We can choose to know ourselves better, to what we understand, what we believe in and why. We can study history, which gives us answers. We can plan for the future. We can look at our differences, because that's where consensus lies. So we end up creating a world citizenship where we're citizens of the planet, which we started out as and we always are. And how does that translate across borders, across different mindsets, different ethnic and different political and different countries, different backgrounds, different histories, and how can we come together as one thing? So I'll leave that with you for today. If you have any comments, you are quite welcome to email me at robin@robinfritz.com or tag me on Facebook. So coming up here, next week, we are going to talk about jobs to do when you're dead. Okay, that's a big leap in situations. But we're going to talk about, you know, the things that I experience as a medium and things that people do in the afterlife. And on Monday, March 26th, we're going to be talking about crystals for spring. But next week, March 20th, I'm offering a 5-part webinar series starting on Tuesday, March 20th at 6 Pacific time. And I really would like to keep it to about 6 people, but there's room for 25. 1 hour a week for 5 weeks, we are going to learn how to be our best at home and at work by learning what our energy body is, what our boundaries are, how they work, because each one of us is individual. We're going to lots of exercises that I've developed over the years in training people how to manage their boundaries, healthcare professionals in particular, how that works for us, what it looks like, how we can manage them on a daily basis, how we can work in at home and at work, and how the little tips that we get through, plus you get to work one-on-one with me. So that's at Experts Platform, Ohm Times Experts Platform, experts.ohmtimes.com/RobynFritz, RobynFritz. But as we get to the end of the day, I just want you to think about, if you're afraid of something, is it part of your sacred work and how that can be for you? So cross your hands on your heart, breathe into the palms of your hands, then blow into the palms of your hands in front of your face. Feel that air, and then put your palms, again, cross your palms on your heart, getting your grounded and balanced back into your bodies for the rest of the day. Thank you for joining us. It is a privilege. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.